The Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to Market Insight. I'm Michael Swido. This hour, we turn to the currency markets where India's rupee has hit a fresh all-time low and the Chinese renminbi is trending lower as well. Joining me now is Stephen Innes. He's the head of trading at Oanda. Stephen, India's rupee now trading at 74.29 against the U.S. dollar. I understand you were just making some rupee trades. What's driving the rupee ever lower?
I think it just goes back to last week where the RBI disappointed the market by keeping rates unchanged. I think there's a couple of issues here. One, the RBI realized that they were between a rock and a hard place due to domestic credit concerns, so they were really scared to raise interest rates. The other factor, the RBI just realized the futility of putting interest rates higher is completely ineffective. And more or less just like putting a bandage on a broken leg in the face of surging oil prices. That brings us forward to today. This is really the major catalyst. We had a little bit of sell-off in oil prices due to some supply concerns, some talk of the U.S. Offering up some waivers, which are basically supply concessions to countries that really do need Iranian oil over the short term. However, those positions have been reversed. I think what's happening is they're starting to get back onto this notion that there's going to be a supply shortfall near term. And I think this was convincing by a specific tanker report that came out today suggesting that crude oil exports from Iran had fallen quite dramatically during the first week of October. So that's putting immediate pressure on prompt Brent, which in turn is putting immediate pressure on the Indian rupee.
Well, as you say, a surge in crude oil prices is hurting the rupee, dragging it lower, as is the general strength of the greenback across the globe. How low can the rupee go? I mean, you mentioned for a moment that the India Central Bank doesn't want to raise interest rates. The low rupee is going to hurt the Indian economy as well. How low is it going to go?
Yeah, well, what they're looking to do is making some sort of concessions, other trade concessions. Like right now, there was news this morning that they were looking at some of curbing some of China's anti-dumping trade on the country. They think this could be hurting. They're looking at exempting specific non-essential goods from export duties, leveling export duties on non-essential goods. This may hurt, but I think ultimately what they're going to have to do to curb this oil-induced rupee weaknesses, open up a dollar window. In other words, open up swap windows whereby oil companies can swap U.S. dollars. So in other words, buy U.S. dollars now and then swap them back sometime in the future just to get them over this curve here. Because right now, with the momentum in oil prices, looking like they could go back up to $90 plus, this will negatively impact. So the idea behind these swap facilities is that they can effectively borrow dollars with the purpose of repaying them, certainly in 3 to 6 months down the road, but allows them this little buffer to absorb this expected short-term oil shock.
So you mentioned the oil shock. A barrel of Brent crude is currently just shy of $85. We've been talking a lot about how U.S. sanctions on Iran due to take effect in early November have been pushing oil prices higher. But it's not just that. There's been some fires, some explosions I see even in Canada, other factors that are dampening supply. Can you tell us more?
Yeah, what's basically the supply-demand equation is very, very tight line. So there's not an excess amount of supply in the market. So every time there's an idea of a disruption like we had at the Irving plant, St. John's Irving plant, that really causes a break in the supply chain. And this pushes up prices. We also see the threat of a Hurricane Michael going through the Gulf. That's also weighing on sentiment because it's effectively taking close to about 20%, according to industry insiders, mind you, about 20% of online production. That'll fall off over the short term, too. And that usually takes a week or two to build up. But in the meantime, that also is contributing to higher near-term oil prices. And this is really what we're looking at here. Most of the activity is on the near contracts. I think this is where the initial wave of higher oil prices are going to be expressed by oil speculators. So Yeah, it really is building up again here. And I think as we get closer towards this November 4th sanction deadline, I think there's going to be more rhetoric. There's going to be more bullish sentiment. And I think this is what's driving the markets right now, this fear about missing out on higher oil trades. So we're seeing a lot of people getting back into the game again today after two days sell-off.
So you mentioned that a barrel of oil may challenge $90 in the future. How far off are you looking for that?
Listen, this could happen in the next 3 weeks. I'm not looking into 2019. I think we're getting into a near-term crunch. I think eventually supply and demand equations have a way of figuring themselves out. Either they'll have improvements on pipelines. The price will get so high, you'll get improvements in pipeline from the Permian Basin in the U.S. to the key delivery ports. That's one channel that's causing a little bit of gridlock. I'm sure prices around 90 will spur some more investors back into Russia, so they'll start to ramp up their spigots will be turning on the wells. And again, Saudi Arabia may be able to add a little bit more, but we're not so sure there, because we're not sure whether this 10.7 million barrels per day is their upper limit or if they can ratchet up to 12. This debate's been going on for years. So, this is what we're at right now. The market is in dire need of more capital investment in the oil industry, whether it's offshore oil, whether it's onshore traditional oil, or even the infrastructure builds in the U.S. But eventually, higher prices will spur capital investment back into the oil industry, and they will rebalance probably later in 2019 rather than sooner in 2019.
We're speaking with Stephen Innes. He's the head of trading at Oanda. Stephen, let's turn the conversation now to China, where the renminbi is weaker and the People's Bank of China set a new midpoint for the currency's trading range. It looks like China is letting the renminbi depreciate against the U.S. dollar to offset tariffs from the U.S.
Yeah, that's. I think there is a strong argument in that case, especially after we've seen some monetary easing occur over the weekend that was due to probably the meltdown we had in the Hong Kong exchange after the weaker PMI. But I think also they're looking at last month's economic data, which was very, very poor. So I think we could expect more policy easing. However, I think they may be more inclined to go the infrastructure route. In other words, try to generate demand from infrastructure as opposed to pushing down interest rates. Because we see the immediate effect of interest rate drops. It takes quite a while to circulate through the economy, whereas an infrastructure spend seems to have immediate action, and especially on commodity markets, and which tend to get quite bullish. And I think this is also driving oil prices up, quite frankly, is that the expectations is that of China continue to grease the economy through monetary stimulus and fiscal stimulus. I think this could benefit some certain sectors over the long term.
Stephen, before I let you go, I want to bring the conversation back here to home. On Friday, the Monetary Authority of Singapore is going to meet. All eyes will be on them to see what happens to the Sing dollar trading ban, particularly as interest rates are rising in the U.S. What are you forecasting?
Well, the economy is not doing great, and inflation is not really that high, so it doesn't necessarily warrant a move in rates or even a adjustment in the slope of the currency band. However, you can see the way the currency speculators are trading it right now. They're sort of erring on the side of a more dovish approach from MAS, which could then lead to a weaker Singapore dollar in the face, if everything remains equal. I think this seems to be a common trend in emerging markets right now. I don't think central banks are too keen to raise interest rates to defend the currency. I think they're more concerned about the stimulatory effect of keeping rates lower and positive effects it'll have on the economy. So, yeah, I think the MAS could take a pass this time around.
Okay, so it looks like the Sing dollar could be headed weaker against the U.S. Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Stephen Innes. He is the head of trading at Oanda.